This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is your afternoon All Local
News. It's breaking news out of Greenville. Greenville police officer died in a gunfight. The wanted man, and he tried in vain to save his own life. We'll get the latest from LP Phillips, just finished with a news conference with the police department. LP.
And David, Greenville Police Chief Chris Smith says Officer Cooper Dawson had seen the still unnamed gunman, knew he was a violent offender who was wanted, and tried to pull him over in a traffic stop. That man got out of the car and took off running. Dawson gave chase.
It was a foot pursuit. They went to the back of a residence. Officer Dawson was right behind the suspect. As he rounded the corner, the suspect opened fire, striking Officer Dawson multiple times. Despite his injuries, he was able to return fire.
And Dawson, who was a member of the Greenville SWAT team and taught field first aid, administered a tourniquet to himself. He died about 9 hours later. Dawson had been with the Greenville Police Department about a year and a half after a decorated 7-year career at the Garland Police Department. He leaves behind a wife and 3 children. As for the gunman, police are not releasing his name, but David and Kristen Smith says he is in critical condition.
And of course, we heard about his military background as well, which is also, this is just a really impressive person.
He was a guy who taught officers how to do the, for instance, the SWAT team. He was with Garland PD and did that there, and he taught the officers in Greenville how to act in situations similar to this, but obviously with better equipment. He was in his squad car at the time, not on the SWAT team.
And of course, this is a long time since Greenville's had to go through this, more than 100 years since the last police officer died in the line of duty.
It has been a remarkably long time, yes, and you have these cases that just, you know, all of a sudden put the whole department, you know, we get the holiday coming up and everything, it puts the whole department in turmoil here. There is going to be a service that they're going to announce at a later date. That is still being planned, and they are working on setting up some sort of accounts for the wife, and again, he's got a wife and 3 children here, and they'll announce that at a later time, too.
LP Phillips, thank you so much. Police in White Settlement are holding a man who they say had guns, explosives, and was dealing with a mental health issue.
He's detained, but there will be, with the more information that we obtain, some charges pending.
Corporal Laura Gonzalez says a neighbor saw the man sitting in a van about 5:30 this morning, thought it was odd, called police. Officers found a gun in the man's lap and improvised bombs in the seat next to him. Gonzalez says the officers were able to take the guns away and had experts disarm those bombs. They are not sure what his intentions were.
Well, more than a week after a teenager dies in a hit and run, They made an arrest in Fort Worth.
Police say 12-year-old Apollo Rogers was crossing the street just outside Young Men's Leadership Academy, where he went to school, when the driver of a white Jeep Cherokee sped through the intersection, ran a red light, hit Rogers, and then kept driving. Now police say 33-year-old Precious Crosby has turned herself in and has been charged with collision involving death. Rogers' stepmom says the accident happened around 8 at night when the boy was walking home from school.
He loved everything about his school. Everything from the teachers to the receptionist to the principal, everybody. And everybody loved him.
She says what's even worse, the little boy's sister saw it all. Crosby's bond has been set at $200,000. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
A firearm charge has been filed against a Segoville man who tried to get into a crowded church with a tactical rifle. 25-year-old Russell Ragsdale Jr. was arrested last week. Court papers say on November 2nd, Ragsdale took the rifle to the doors of a church. Parishioners had locked the doors and called police. Ragsdale had previously been indicted for murdering a roommate just 2 years ago, but the charge was later dropped. And another woman in Texas has reportedly died after not receiving proper miscarriage treatment. The woman who died was Portia Gumezi. She's a 35-year-old mother of two. Doctors who reviewed her case say that she should have received a dilation and curettage known as a DNC in order to clear tissue from the uterus. Instead, Houston Methodist Sugar Land Hospital only supplied multiple blood transfusions to her, where she later bled for hours. Health experts say due to the current abortion ban in Texas, some doctors are hesitant to provide that procedure, DNC.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's move on now. The judge overseeing the federal election interference case against Donald Trump has dismissed the charges against the president-elect following a request from special counsel Jack Smith. He's been prosecuting this, but now feels there's no point in proceeding. We're going to bring in CBS correspondent Scott McFarland right now. He's been following this story. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be here, though. Sad I missed TV theme show trivia. Maybe next time we can incorporate that.
I guarantee you would have done a lot better.
We don't want to bring in any ringers here now. Yeah. Fair enough. Jack Smith, he's put a lot of work into this. What was his reason for giving it up?
That he can't prosecute a sitting president. That the Constitution and Justice Department policy prohibit that. He made explicit in this very short six-page filing he submitted yesterday that he thinks his case is strong. That it was not compromised or weakened after the election, but that the election precludes him from moving forward and that he has no choice. The judge quickly acknowledged the same and agreed to dismiss the case. And Trump's defense attorneys had no objection, as you'd imagine. This thing's over. This is a piece of history that just became history on its own.
I know that he said something about without prejudice. Could we actually see these charges maybe revised following his term?
Technically, yes. Realistically, goodness, no. I mean, what this does is leaves open the door for a future prosecutor, a future Department of Justice to bring this type of case against Trump in 2029 with the allegations of what happened in 2020 and 2021. But there's a couple big hurdles between now and then. First of all, Trump's Justice Department, beginning January 20th, could move to have this thing dismissed with prejudice so that it doesn't survive. Trump could pardon himself either on Inauguration Day or on his final day in office to inoculate himself. Or there just could be a consideration that Trump at the age he'll be at the end of his term. And with the age of the allegations, just doesn't seem like it'd be a realistic path forward. This thing's gone. It's over.
No, realistically, we're done. What about the state case in Georgia?
That's been languishing for several reasons, some of which have nothing to do with Trump, but with how the prosecutor has operated her office. That's on a course to nowhere. It was before the election. I would think that at some point Trump's defense attorneys are going to move to have that thing scrubbed as well. making the same type of argument that he's a sitting president. He shouldn't be facing local prosecution either, even though the Constitution doesn't prohibit it. The bigger question in Georgia to make is what becomes of the other co-defendants? Because Trump's not alone charged in Georgia. What does the prosecutor do with others he's alleged to have conspired with to subvert the election in 2021?
This is going to be a great day for the Trump's team. What are they saying in reaction to all this?
They say it's vindication. They say that the prosecution was a hijacking of a political variety. They say that the Department of Justice was weaponized, and there's been talk about getting some retribution for this, that perhaps there'd be an investigation or a menacing of the prosecutors who were involved with this case, and that the voters spoke louder than the jurors did in this case. I think the secondary and tertiary impacts shouldn't go overlooked. There are still 1,500 January 6 defendants who did not have their cases dropped because of the election. Hundreds of them still have to go to trial or go to sentencing. They are trying to get their cases delayed now until after January 20th, citing Trump's pledge of pardons for all involved. And the judges have been resistant to do that. They haven't given them those delays, but these cases on their own are just going to end up sliding past January 20th because the court is clogged with cases. And these pardons may prevent some people from ever going to trial or ever having to go to a plea agreement hearing because Trump stops it all in its tracks.
Scott, listen, thanks so much. It's great, great information. We appreciate the time. Trivia, more trivia Friday. We may give you a call.
That's right. As a Washington guy who doesn't like the Commanders, I was all for that game Sunday and the craziness at the end. All in on it, guys.
Love it. Like to hear that. How about them Cowboys?
CBS correspondent Scott McFarland with us here on KRLD. But I didn't get to see the Cowboys game. A ridiculous win over the Commanders.
It was. Honestly, all you got to do is go back for the last 3 minutes of the game,
yeah,
and that'll be the whole game for the Cowboys. It was crazy.
34-26 over the Commanders, and old Jerry Jones, he's got a smile on his face
That's right.
A spring in his step. He checked in this morning with the guys upstairs at 105.3. The fan said he's never seen a game like that with so many crazy plays and wild momentum swings.
You didn't have time to soak in what had happened to you or what you had done to them. And it was going so fast and furious. But the thing that I would point out, though, is our team did play well enough to win. And all day, even in that first part of the game, we were shooting ourselves in the foot. But, boy, you could tell our defense was starting to be where Mike Zimmer wants them to be.
Mm-hmm.
We had some guys out there that were not players that we necessarily thought we'd be going with 10 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. Younger players, players that you wouldn't thought you would have had out there. But they knew what to do. And they knew where to get to do it. And they believed in the system and in themselves. And I'm so proud of that defense. I'm so proud for Mike Zimmer and sticking with it this year. And I can tell you, we're getting better. And we're going to get better.
You know, when they went up 7 late and gave up that 86-yard or whatever it was.
I was like, this is the Cowboys season in a nutshell right here. And it was a horrible play.
You got to be kidding me. They're going to
Nobody knew what to do on defense.
They're going to figure out a way to lose this game. And then the missed extra point.
I mean, I will say, both those special teams, that might have been some of the worst special teams play all year. Because it wasn't like we necessarily did. We had a blocked punt.
With Washington,
we had missed field goals.
But they had a missed field goal.
And then they let up two
missed extra points.
Yeah, onside kick run back for a touchdown.
Two kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Yeah.
That may have been the worst special teams performance in history.
In a while, yeah.
By any team. Cowboys, though, as to how this team can be 4-2 on the road with wins over Pittsburgh and Washington and 0-5 at home. Here's Jerry.
Well, a lot of it is your opposition's got a lot to do with that. We played some strong teams here at home, boy. That Baltimore team you saw last night, that's no slouch. And they're good. That Philadelphia team we played here at home. Now, that New Orleans team, when we played them, they looked like world beaters. But my point is, we played teams that were really clicking when they came in here at home. That's one thing. But still, you have to beat those teams, and you have to know that you've got to play at a level to get them. But I would say that it's been one of the biggest disappointments that I've had, and it, as it should be, that we can't play better at home. We're going to start playing better, and again, this isn't rah-rah. We could start right out here Thursday and play better. If we play better, we'll have a home win.
Oh, I would hope so.
They better have a home win. I mean, good Lord, you can't beat the Giants.
To be fair, he is right. Their home schedule so far, is, with the exception of the Saints, who played their best game of the year, it has been brutal.
Yeah, it has.
Baltimore, Detroit, Philadelphia, the Texans.
And Detroit looks like nobody's going to stop them. I mean, they're incredible right now.
So as for the rest of the season, Micah Parsons says he's heard all the talk about tanking and getting a high draft pick. He says he is not on board with that. And Jerry's reaction?
Love it. Just absolutely love it. And Micah gets criticized for some of the things that he says. But the way that was articulated is strong. And it was just a succinct statement. And it's the way that it is.
He really articulated it.
Articulated it very well now.
Remaining schedule. They've got the Giants at home this
Thursday.
They
can win that.
And then they got Cincinnati coming in. That's a team that's been a disappointment this year.
Well, their defense is terrible, but Joey B is having MVP numbers. I mean, they could still score a lot of points. The defense can't stop nobody.
Light them up. Then they have to go play at Carolina. A few weeks ago, that was looking like a sure win.
Well, they gave Kansas City all they needed.
Almost beat the
Chiefs. Beat them.
And then they come back home, play Tampa Bay. So I mean, these next four are they're. You know, relatively, as compared to earlier in the year and the teams they were getting.
I was talking with Alec. We say the best I think they can do is seven wins.
Seven.
That's the absolute, maybe six.
And then they finish up on the road at Philadelphia and then back here against Washington.
Bobby was telling us that there are some fans that want them to lose. They were upset that they won that game against Washington because they want that high draft pick.
They can't even tank properly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. We play to win the game.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.